The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The big moving piece of news today that we've been following is the tentative peace deal for Gaza. So a little bit earlier this afternoon, an Israeli government spokesperson outlined the timeline for the deal. Take a listen.
This is a momentous day. It's Thursday, October 9th. Now 2 years and 2 days since Hamas brutally invaded Israel and took our people hostage. It also marks 2 years in the Jewish calendar since they were kidnapped on what was supposed to be the joyous holiday of Simchat Torah. We have hit a critical point in this war. From day one of this war, the Prime Minister laid out three objectives: the return of all of our hostages, the defeat and dismantling of Hamas, and ensuring Gaza no longer poses a threat to Israel. All of the Prime Minister's objectives have now been achieved.
So that was an Israeli government spokesperson speaking a little bit earlier today. Belle True is with me, who's the chief international correspondent with The Independent. Belle, talk me through exactly what we're expecting this afternoon and this evening.
Well, as we're speaking right now, the Israeli cabinet is meeting, ready to vote on this deal, this initial first phase of a deal. And then once that happens and it's approved, which we believe it will be, a ceasefire will kick in. And then in the next few days, as Hamas are gathering the hostages and captives ready for release, we will start to see people being returned to their homes. In the first phase, we know, at least from government sources I've been speaking to, that at least 20 of the living hostages and captives will be sent back to Israel. At the same time, there'll be hundreds of Palestinians who are being held in Israeli prisons, released simultaneously. Many of them were arrested since October 2023, and Israeli forces will withdraw to pre-agreed lines as part of a staged withdrawal out of Gaza. That is, in essence, the plan. But this is only phase one. There are 20 hostages that have been included in this deal. There's still 28 hostages who are believed to have died, whose bodies still need to be retrieved. They're not included. We also have key elements which haven't been addressed. For example, the disarmament of Hamas, who's going to have the run the transitional authority of Gaza. What is this board of peace that Trump and Tony Blair are supposed to be headed up? And, you know, is there going to be Palestinian statehood? There are many, many questions. But at the moment, what we're looking at is phase one of a staged ceasefire, hopefully going into play as early as tonight.
And is there a time limit on this phase, at which point either phase two kicks in or it expires and hostilities resume? Because people will forget, they kind of think we've had 2 years almost of continuous war. We were at this point before. There was phase one of a ceasefire and it all fell apart.
Yes, I mean, this is the biggest concern. At the moment, we don't have any publicly declared deadlines in that regard, beyond an understanding that there's about 3 days of ceasefire by which Hamas needs to have retrieved the living hostages and captives, ready to deliver them back to their families. But beyond that, as far as I'm aware and the sources I'm talking to, that's not been made public yet. And this is the biggest concern, because we were here in January of this year. There was supposed to be three phases of a ceasefire to end the war that started again with the release of hostages, the release of Palestinian prisoners. And then the discussions for phase two were supposed to happen whilst phase one was happening. That never ended up occurring, and that's why we ended up having months more of slaughter, of more people being killed, and more concern for the families of the hostages and captives as well. But the difference this time is it does seem to be a lot of international pressure on both Hamas and Israel. You know, Donald Trump was keen in January for a ceasefire. Now he's using words like this is a deal to end all deals, this is a deal for peace in the Middle East. He's even been eyeing up a potential Nobel Peace Prize. He's really put his name behind this, and I think that's crucial. At the same time, you've seen leaders across the Middle East, the Arab world and the Muslim-majority countries throwing their weight behind this as well. We had the Prime Minister of Qatar arriving in Egypt yesterday. We had also the Turkish intelligence chief also arriving. These are high-level people who are really backing this and hoping it's the end of this unprecedented slaughter.
Yeah, I mean, a cynic might suggest that Donald Trump was less keen on the January ceasefire because it was seen as Joe Biden's ceasefire, less than his. But we shall park such cynicism, given the possibility for peace. What's the reaction amongst regular Israelis?
Speaking to regular Israelis, there's a lot of, well, at least those who are related or care about the hostages and captives, there's a lot of joy and relief and anxiety because, you know, I was just literally speaking to one man whose grandfather was a captive but was killed by Islamic Jihad in captivity. The body was finally given back to the family in February. But he said, look, you can't believe anything's going to happen until you see that person dead or alive cross the border. And that's where everyone is right now. I was also talking to civilians in Gaza. You know, there's also cautious optimism on their side. They have lived through an unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe, conditions that none of us can truly understand. And they've lost so much, their homes, their families, everything. And so they're worried that A, the ceasefire won't hold for long enough, but B, what the future holds, because they don't know who's going to be running Gaza in the coming months and years. They don't know whether they're going to be forced to have to be displaced forever. They don't know if they'll ever get any justice for what's happened to them. So there's a sort of bittersweet atmosphere there as well.
Well, speaking of the population in Gaza, Raham Mahdi Al-Jarrah is a local partner for Christian Aid Ireland in Gaza. Raham, you're welcome to the show. What's the mood like there?
Hi, everyone. Actually, the mood on the ground is unbelievable. When the ceasefire, just the moment the ceasefire came into effect, like for me, silence fell over Gaza. And then all of our tears, all of the colleagues, the WAC staff, their tears began to flow. Everyone cried as if we had just finally been allowed to breathe, because we've been breathing fear for almost, not almost, completely 2 years, we've been breathing fear and pain and suffering. And that exact moment, we've allowed to release the sorrow and the pain that we had kept inside for so long. At that moment, we remembered what and whom we had lost: our homes, our loved ones, our neighbors, our dreams, our hopes, and even the workplaces that once embraced all of us. In that exact moment, I felt it was like the end of the endless bleeding. It's the fragile beginning of hope that Gaza will recover again. The life that was only a normal life, it will return again. The hope that from beneath of the rubble, a new life will rise, and that Gaza streets, the tired and wounded and destroyed Gaza streets will shine again. We had been holding back our tears for so long until that moment of ceasefire arrived, the moment that we could finally cry, we could finally mourn our losses, we could finally mourn the remnants of ourselves, because this war changed all of us. 2 years were like 40 years, or were like a century for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't the tears out of weakness. It's out of gratitude that we're still being here, that still we are still holding onto hope despite everything that happened to us. But yet, there's a deep insight, to be honest, a deep insight and quiet fear inside all of us, that the fear that it might all break once again.
I was about to, you took the words out of my mouth, Raham. I was about to ask, despite the relief that you quite obviously feel and others do in Gaza, how worried are ye that, much like in January, we'll have phase one of a ceasefire and then hostilities will resume?
To be honest, like, this ceasefire announcement wasn't like the previous one, because we experienced what giving hope to a people, that this is the end of their misery, this is the end of their suffering, and then taking back that hope, stealing that hope from them, or stealing that hope from them again. We've felt some kind of relief when hearing the ceasefire announcement. Still, again, we have that deep fear inside that it all might break again, and that we could be thrown back into that black hole of misery that we barely escaped, and we are still not even able to comprehend what we've been through these two, unimaginable years, unbelievable circumstances that we've lived through.
Bel True is still with us. Bel, we've all gotten used to the names of these Israeli cabinet ministers that none of us had heard of a couple of years ago, and Smotrich and Ben-Gvir and what have you. To what extent might there be opposition in Israel to any deal?
Well, they will, of course, oppose it. I mean, they've made it very clear that any deal is a surrender. We've had some appallingly violent statements coming out of Smotrich saying things like Gaza has to be completely destroyed. He even mentioned that they could turn it into a real estate bonanza between, you know, the US and Israel, sort of carving up the waterfront. They will make it very clear that they will oppose this. But also, I think at this point, there really is a change in the sense that they are still a minority in Israel. Even their political parties don't hold that many seats in the Israeli Knesset. And there's a huge amount of pressure for this to go ahead. We're seeing weekly protests in Tel Aviv and across different cities in Israel calling for a ceasefire. The chief of staff, Netanyahu's own chief of staff, has raised concerns that the so-called plan to eliminate Hamas isn't working and they need to end the war. We've had letters of dissent coming from former Israeli military chiefs, former heads of domestic and external intelligence agencies saying this is a disaster. And even just on the ground speaking to people, they really feel that Israel is now a pariah. And this has actually been devastating for the future of Israel as well, particularly when you have a UN Commission of Inquiry, you know, concluding that genocide has been committed and is being committed in Gaza. You know, these are big words, and this is, you know, very upsetting for the people of Israel as well. So I do think even if there is criticism, I think there's enough support behind this ceasefire to push it through.
Well, listen, thank you for the update. Bel True, the Chief International Correspondent with The Independent, and Riham Madi Al-Jarrah, who is Christian Aid Ireland's local partner in Gaza. Riham, thank you so much as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.